It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and you can always find us on the 101.3 ESPN app as well. Full access to our podcasts, all of our exclusive web content, any interviews you might have missed as well, from Sports Saturday to The Huddle to Champlain Valley Game Night, Google Play Store, Android Store, also in the Apple Store, the iTunes Store. You can find us there, free to download. And if you're using that smart speaker, that Amazon Alexa, that Echo Dot, you can just ask her to stream WCPV. We appreciate you being with us. We go up until 6:25, and then it's Red Sox baseball. They are taking on the Royal Sox with a win yesterday to avoid a sweep at the hands of the Tampa Bay Rays. So we will get you that. We'll talk a little bit more about the Celtics and Sixers, some notes on the Yankees and their 9-game winning streak as well. But first, the Patriots draft tells me something, and it tells me that Bill Belichick plans on staying for a while. And I don't know that I immediately thought that Bill Belichick was going to retire. I don't know that I thought he was going to win a Super Bowl and ride off in the sunset. I don't know that I was worried about him leaving if the Patriots don't win a Super Bowl. But this draft strategy really starts to solidify things for me. And you can get in 802-655-6672. The Patriots, they didn't punt on this draft, but they spent a lot of time in this draft building for the future. And the Patriots did a really good job of that. If you are into future building, which usually I am, in line with that way of thinking of building for the future and cultivating prospects and gaining assets, I'm usually great with that. The Patriots added a second-round pick from the Bears. They added a third-round pick from the Lions. They've got compensation picks, compensatory picks coming. The Patriots are in a great spot for next year. They build for the future for sure. And Bill Belichick wouldn't build for the future if he didn't plan on being part of the future. That's how I have to read this. I have said all along that I think the Patriots need to extract every ounce of winning that they can from Tom Brady. And as a result, I would have gone all in on trying to win now and gone all in on trying to win next year. As long as Tom Brady's here, I'm going all in year to year. And because I just think you're never going to have it as good as the Patriots have now. And I wanted the Patriots to take a quarterback. I wanted them to find a quarterback for the future. Other than that, I wanted them to use all of their picks this year. They didn't do that. And so that is something that I disagree with. But if that is their methodology, then it does prove to me kind of one of the tentacles off of that. If they're acquiring future assets, then Bill Belichick plans on being here for the future to use those assets. I just don't see a guy in Bill Belichick who's looking to set up an organization for the future that he has no plans of being a part of. I don't see that. Why would Bill Belichick at 65 plus try to build this thing for the future if he wasn't going to be a part of it? I just don't think that that's likely. So Patriot fans who want to see Bill Belichick here, I think you've got your man for the foreseeable future. And maybe he does outlast Tom Brady. That said, I still would have gone the other way, though. I was watching the draft. I watched nearly every pick. I watched every pick of the first six rounds and half of the seventh round. And I thought to myself, okay, here's a chance for the Patriots to take a defensive back. Here's the chance for them to take this or a quarterback. And they didn't. They just kept trading down. Eight trades in all, and it was frustrating. How did you feel about it, Patriot fans? 802-655-6672. I definitely was disappointed. And I wonder how Tom Brady feels. I wonder how he feels, because this is a guy who, as we told you, he lost a lot of valuable commodities to him. He lost Danny Amendola. He lost Deion Lewis. He, for a while, thought maybe he was going to lose Gronk. He lost his left tackle. How does he feel about what the Patriots did? On the offensive line, I think they did well. They got Trent Brown in a trade. They got Isaiah Wynn. I have to be happy about that. They addressed the need for bodies, and they addressed the need for quality bodies with high upside and versatility of positions. But Tom Brady has to be okay with what they did in the offensive line. Sony Michel at running back, he's got to be happy with what they did there. Again, it's not logistically the smartest thing the Patriots could have done because now they've created a running back logjam, and it's created a logjam that's going to result in probably one to two of their running backs under contract getting cut. But for Tom Brady, who wants depth at all positions and more weapons to throw to and hand the ball to, he's got to be happy about that. They didn't do much at wide receiver. I'm not, you know, super thrilled about the slot receiver from Miami, Braxton Berrios. I don't know how much he's really going to do. Yes, maybe he is on the practice squad and all that, but he's not an impact player for this year as far as I'm concerned. That's just not going to happen. Overall, I think Brady's got to be happy with what they did offensively in some areas, but they didn't give him any other high-impact players. They could have drafted two offensive players in the second round to give him more. So I thought it was an uneven draft. If you're looking at the Patriots saying, I want them to be in shape forever, then you got closer to that goal by seeing all of those picks that are coming in next year's draft. If you're a guy who looks at it and says, they've got Tom Brady, they need to win now because it's never possibly going to be as good as it is now, then I think you're coming into this day feeling a little bit 50-50. Yeah, a couple of picks that help us win now, like Michelle and Wynn. The trade of Brown helps, but there was a lot more that could have been done, more possible defensive starters that could have been acquired, another tight end to play opposite Gronk to give us a two tight end set. But do remember defensively you signed Adrian Claiborne and you traded for Danny Shelton. I did like those moves. It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And remember, you can get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Ryan gets in. He says, don't sleep on Braxton Berrios. I'm a Miami fan and have watched him the last couple of years. Another one of those guys that's not counting on, that's not being counted on, but is out to prove people wrong. Ryan, I'm not saying that Braxton Berrios is a bad football player. And look, if you are kind of coming into this and saying I kind of lukewarmly paid attention to the draft, Braxton Berrios is what you kind of stereotypically associate with the Patriots. He is a short, white slot receiver. He is in the, if you want to equate him in the mold of Julian Edelman or Wes Welker, then that's who he's going to be compared to. But that's what he is. It's not that Braxton Berrios is a bad football player. It's just that I'm not seeing the path to impact right now on this Patriots roster. You've already got Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman coming back and Malcolm Mitchell and Kenny Britt and Jordan Matthews. That's five right there. Then you want to throw in Matthew Slater, who is a special teamer but counts as a wideout. That's six. Then you want to throw in Riley McCarron, who's this exact same player as Braxton Berrios, who spent last year on the practice squad. I just don't see where there's an opportunity for Braxton Berrios to walk in week one without there being injury and saying he's going to have an impact. I'm not saying he's not going to be good at some point in the future, but for fans who want to see the Patriots win this year, then I don't think that he's a guy who's going to do it. Remember last year we spent time talking about Austin Carr all training camp, a guy who looked great in the preseason. There was no room for him. And he ends up getting cut, and I want to say signed with New Orleans. So it's the same kind of situation here. Braxton Berrios might be good. He's a smart kid. He was a double major, and I think he had a 3.96 GPA in college. He seems to be all of what's good about college athletics and a guy to root for, but I just don't see him having a chance to make an impact. On the counter, we talk kind of about kind of a mixed bag for the Patriots. Some of the guys help now, some of the guys help later. The guy who was 100% totally married to his thought process all along was Giants general manager Dave Gettleman. You can debate individual players, you can debate the draft strategy, but Dave Gettleman is exactly what he told us that he was going to be. He was exactly what he told us he was going to be. He wanted to draft a transformational talent who could be a Hall of Fame player at number two. He did that in Saquon Barkley. I told you all along that I didn't love the move, but this is what we've got, so it's time to drop that shtick and move on. Okay? It's time to drop that thought process and move on. Saquon Barkley is what Giants and Giant fans have. Dave Gettleman told you he wanted a transformational talent. He got one. He told you at his intro press conference he wanted the hog mollies. He wanted the big guys up front. He had six picks. He took three linemen. two on the defensive side, one on the offensive side. He stayed true to exactly what he said. He told you that he thinks Eli Manning has good football left, and as a result, he didn't need a quarterback in the first round. He didn't need a quarterback in the second round. He has said he's not sure about Davis Webb long term, so he takes Kyle Uletta in the fourth round, and he has maybe a quarterback for the future, or maybe at least a backup that's better than Davis Webb. You can debate certain players all you want, but Dave Gettleman did exactly what he told you he was going to do. And kind of the biggest piece of this is he and Pat Shurmur said they think the 3-13 record is an aberration. They think that we do Real or Mirage every Monday in the huddle. They think that record is a mirage. They did not think this thing was a full overhaul. Because if it was a full overhaul, they would have taken a quarterback in round one. They would have traded and gotten more picks. They came into this thing with 6 picks, which was the fewest of any team, and they ended this thing with 6 picks. So they didn't make a bunch of picks in this draft. So they didn't need to overhaul the whole roster, they felt like, for the future. They thought, let's get some pieces that can help us win now. And remember, they traded a couple of picks for Alec Ogletree from the Rams to go and get an impact defensive player. Dave Gettleman is in to win now. And he's told you, I don't want to lose. Who does? He's trying to win this thing now. And we all sat here and speculated about what the Giants could do, would do, and should do. But Dave Gettleman told us all along, he is a straight shooter. And whether you like the moves or not, you have to at least appreciate that. We spend so much time thinking about disinformation and who's leading on who and who's playing games. Dave Gettleman didn't play games. Get bigger up front, he did that. Talent that could be unmatched and unparalleled first round, he did that too. Thinks Eli Manning can play a few more years, he showed that by not taking a quarterback until the fourth round. Thinks his team can win now, went out and got players to win now, and then acquired another one for draft picks before the draft a couple of months ago in Alec Ogletree. Giant fans, 802-655-6672. Tim in South Burlington gets in with reference to the Patriots. He goes, what if McDaniel says something tricky up his sleeve with a 2-slot receiver set? Look, I'm for ingenuity. I'm for creativity. I didn't even throw in Cordarrelle Patterson in that list. So now we're looking at it and saying, Julian Edelman's on this team. Chris Hogan's on this team. Let's throw everything out and say they're 2 guarantees. Matthew Slater's the special teams captain. Well, he doesn't play at receiver a lot. He's guaranteed. So that's 3. Cordarrelle Patterson's a guy that they traded draft picks for, and he's one of the best kick returners in the league. As long as kick returns exist, he's going to be there to do them. That's 4. So we're already at 4 guarantees. Jordan Matthews has the potential to put up Brandon Cooks-type numbers almost, and they got him for almost no money. I got to say, he's close. Kenny Britt, Malcolm Mitchell. I think Mitchell's a guarantee. That's 5. And then you're talking about for that 6th spot, Kenny Britt, Jordan Matthews, Braxton Berrios, Riley McCarron. I don't know. The one thing that plays into Braxton Berrios' real opportunity with the Patriots is that he's a punt returner as well. He is going to get he gets a real chance to return punts, and he's good at it. The Patriots right now don't have anybody that's a clear-cut punt returner. Remember that they lost Danny Amendola, who returned punts. They lost Deion Lewis, who returned kicks. And they've got Patterson to return kicks. As far as punts go, we're not quite sure if Patterson can do that, and maybe it's possible that to me is the only way in which Berrios gets a real chance, because I'm just not seeing a path to playing time right now. Champlain Valley Game Night, 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com. We'll get you those Red Sox lineups real quick here in a couple of minutes. But one few notes on the Yankees. They're playing the Astros tonight, and we are finally getting a look at the Yankees team that we thought we were getting. 9 games in a row they've won. Just listen to these numbers. They are ridiculous. In the 9-game win streak, they've got a 46, positive 46, plus 46 run differential. Their best during a 9-game win streak since 1998, which they won the World Series that year. They've had 40 extra base hits during their 9-game win streak, which is second most in the majors in that time, trailing only my Mariners by 2. 5 Yankees are slugging over 550 during the win streak. Didi Gregorius, who right now is the MVP maybe in the American League, Tyler Austin, Gary Sanchez, Miguel Andujar, and Aaron Judge. And their team ERA is 1.76. They've allowed one run in five games and no more than four runs in any game. This is, it's unreal. It won't last. It won't last. But that the pitching is going to be that good. But just get some games in hand, win some games that, you know, take advantage of the great pitching. You're going to hit yourself out of a lot of trouble if you're the New York Yankees, because that offense is so good and so diverse, and it can come at you from so many different directions, from so many different spots in the order. It truly is amazing. It's absolutely amazing what the Yankees have the capability to do and what they're doing already. Ryan gets in on the text line again. He gives me a thumbs up. I presume that's in reference to me knowing that Braxton Berrios is a punt returner and a guy who can contribute in that regard. Red Sox and Royals lineups. The Royals come in at 7-20. The Red Sox come in at 20-7. Pitching matchup, Eduardo Rodriguez is 3-0 with a 3.63 ERA. Jason Hamill is his opponent, 0-2, but a 3.38 ERA. He pitched 6 2/3 and gave up just three runs his last time out against the Brewers. Behind him, Whit Merrifield, the speedy second baseman, leads off, 3 homers, 8 ribbies. Jorge Soler hitting 3.07. He's got 2 homers and 6 RBIs. He plays right field. Mike Moustakas, oft talk about third baseman from this offseason, hitting very well. 3.02, 8 homers, 19 ribbies. He hits third and plays third. Salvador Perez is the catcher. Back off the DL, he homered in his first week back. Chesler Cuthbert, he is the DH, hitting 2.24. Lucas Duda, the former Met, he's at first base, hitting just 2.13. John Jay, the former Cardinal and Cub outfielder, is in center. Alex Gordon back up the DL as well. He hits 8th and plays left field. Alcides Escobar is the shortstop, and he hits 9th. For the Sox, Andrew Benintendi is the leadoff man today in center. Hanley Ramirez the DH. J.D. Martinez in left. Mitch Moreland at first. Xander Bogaerts the shortstop. Rafael Devers is at third. Eduardo Nunez at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. hits 8th and plays right. And Christian Vasquez is the catcher, and he bats 9th. That will do it for us. Again, Red Sox baseball coming up next, 101.3 ESPN. Celtics basketball playoff action against the 76ers. That comes up on 960 The Zone. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.